Extremely Local News is sponsored by Great Lakes Credit Union, committed to financially empowering local communities. John Hansen with the Block Club Chicago Report and a little bit of old-style beer history this morning. Hi, John.
History and a murky future, Bob. You know, Old Style, of course, associated with the Cubs, and really that's what put Old Style on the map in Chicago. But we got a great write-up about how popular it once became, and unfortunately for some, why it isn't so much anymore. So, yeah, it goes back to the 1800s, like many of the beers. Born in La Crosse, Wisconsin, not at all anywhere close to here in Chicago. Never been manufactured here, but their partnership with the Cubs really put them on the map nationally, of course, because of WGN-TV and radio. And by the 90s, it represented about, somewhere around 30% to 35% of all the beer sold in Chicago. Part of the success was Anheuser-Busch had a big strike in the 70s, and Budweiser was not to be found in Chicago for a little bit, so a lot of people switched their allegiances over to Old Style. I mentioned the Cubs as well, and they also gave away a bunch of free signs, as you can still see, all over Chicago. Dive bars still have them up. They gave them away for free, smart marketing. But by the 90s, the tide had turned, and now they say that Old Style represents less than 1% of all the beer sales in Chicago. Not even cracking the top 10, as it's fallen out of favor for maybe more craft beer, or of course it's no longer the beer of the Cubs at Wrigley. So a lot of other factors. I'm not saying it's the death knell for Old Style. It'll always be a popular thing for a lot of people at dive bars or old school folks, but it was an interesting read up to hear more about it, including the fact that it was the first brewery in the country way back in the 1800s to be run by a woman. It's a really fascinating story at blockclubchicago.org.
Now it's all about THC. Yeah. Drinks that are made by local breweries, right?
For now, Bob. Yeah, this has been a really big boon for the business to help them out at a time when the craft beer industry is down about 5% in overall beer production. In comes THC drinks, which were allowed through a federal loophole in 2018 that I cannot even understand or explain the difference between hemp THC and the other, so I won't try. Suffice to say that loophole is closing federally. It's been delayed, but it was part of a bill signed by the president a couple years ago. And also, these THC intoxicating beers, which have been able to be sold in Chicago because of the legalization of cannabis and those products, they can sell them right now in the breweries, they can sell them in grocery stores, but a state law is going to stop that and move them only to dispensaries. But the problem is, Bob, is that the dispensary liquids are well established there. There's not a lot of fridge space, and those have sometimes 10 times as much THC. People going to a dispensary aren't going there to buy a THC-infused beer. But if you're at Mariano's or you're at the brewery and you want to take some home, and you're maybe not much of a beer drinker yourself, but you like the THC and the buzz that might give you, that's where people grabbed those beers. So a lot of people are trying to convince the governor to maybe retract this or change course, and there's lobbying going on in the federal government too. So while it's been a big help for these breweries over the last few years, the future is murky.
Yeah, another example of the law trying to catch up with lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly.
A Garfield Ridge pizza restaurant is expanding, and they're going to Little Italy, right?
Yeah, they're excited about this. Stunads, which means goofball in Italian slang, has been in the Garfield Ridge neighborhood, as you mentioned. And it's two brothers, the Battaglias, who started this about 2 months before COVID, just the perfect time to open up a restaurant. And they said they did it on hard mode, but they have battled through it, and they become kind of a staple in their neighborhood, and they're excited to return to Little Italy. They're Italian-American. Their father was in the food business and often walked the streets of Little Italy in his distribution business. So they're excited to return. They're coming soon later this year, and they're hoping that this just connects them more to their Italian background and the folks in the neighborhood, because they say Little Italy doesn't really have a mom-and-pop pizza place. And they've made an Instagram video to that effect, too. So they're hoping when they open up later on this year that they'll have their second location and it'll go as well as the first.
No, that's not right. They got to have a mom-and-pop pizza place there. And the first Stunads opened on West 63rd Street. Finally, is the Cortland Bridge ever going to open again?
Oh, boy. I'm sure Amanda Zernecki is sick of this question as well. It's not anytime soon, Bob. This this bridge, which they closed last year and were supposed to open it next year for some more minor facelift repairs, is now showing up to be a real major problem. It's 124 years old, and the city's Department of Transportation announcing this week the restoration will now be a multi-year effort. And boy, don't you love when it's ambiguous like that. That never sounds good. The structural assessment says the city found that the bridge can no longer safely support vehicular traffic in its current condition. So now the question is, are they just going to work for years and years to restore it? I mean, it's one of the oldest bridges. It looks really cool. A lot of people are saying, though, hey, we use this road. Why don't we put up a bridge like they did at North Avenue, where they tore down the old one and put up a new one? Yes, it's sad to lose a vestige of the past, but we have a lot of these bridges in Chicago. More of them focus downtown. We see them all the time in the city. They're, of course, a big part of our city. But people wondering, maybe we could just put up a concrete one instead and get this done a little bit faster. As neighbors say, these east-west arteries over the river are few and far between, and it's causing a mess. Other folks say, no, it's our history, and hey, take public transportation. And I don't want to start that debate on this show today, Bob.
The bridge was closed to car traffic last September. And at the time, didn't they say they were going to complete the work by 2027?
Yeah.
Have they changed their mind now?
Oh, yeah. Now it is TBA. It's like when you get on the computer screen when you start getting the spinning ball of death and you never know what ends. They say a multi-year effort, and they're not even giving us an end date, so people are worried.
Oh, that's bad news, isn't it, Amanda?
Yeah, add that to Chicago and Lake Street.
Yep.
Lots of fun in the morning rush especially. John Hansen, thank you.
Take care, Bob.